We saw last time as we looked at verse 6, our enemy destructions are finished forever. The enemies of God, the enemies of God's Christ, the enemies of God's church, their destructions, their desolations shall be made desolate. They shall be destroyed. And indeed at the cross the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed all the power, all the desolations of the destructions of Satan, whereby he laid waste through sin and death. And we saw that God is the one who has destroyed those cities, those great strongholds of Satan. And he is continuing to tear down those strongholds. One by one, they are all falling. As he goes forth, as he marches forth, as he advances forth with his gospel, this message, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is all sufficient to the tearing down of strongholds. They are coming to a ruin, and they shall be remembered no more. All that stands against God's church, all that is in open defiance against God and his Christ, all that stands against the Redeemer shall be brought low. It shall be remembered no more. That's hard to comprehend for our finite minds when we see all these oppositions against God in this world, as we see all these seemingly strong powers of religion that binds people, that keeps them under, or the philosophies and ways of this world which deceive and deflect attention away from God. They seem oh so powerful, but they are coming to nothing. They're coming to ruin. Yet now we are reminded this evening particularly, we are reminded that our great God, our glorious God and Saviour, evermore shall be. He evermore shall be. He never was not, and he most certainly never shall cease to be. This word here ascribed to God, the Lord shall endure forever, speaks of to remain, to abide. That's why my thoughts were drawn to that hymn, Abide with Me. Thou who changest not, abide with me. Everything else that we seek to abide with us changes, moves, ceases to be. Not so the Lord. The psalmist says here, with confidence, yes, in defiance against anyone who would stand against the Lord of glory. The Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall endure. Everything else is passing away. Everything else is passing away. We see firstly here that God was before and is before all things. He was before creation. It is no accident that God caused Moses to write those first words of Genesis 1 in that order. No coincidence. It's not a mere grammatical statement. It's not just mere words putting things in an order. It's a declaration also. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God is from everlasting. Now, we don't know what that means. We don't comprehend that. We only understand a beginning, that in between and an end. We know nothing of everlasting. He is from everlasting. The same God we speak of here is the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we worship and serve, by whom we come to God. He is the one who says of himself, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Meaning he has no beginning. He has no end. Yes, God from everlasting shall endure, shall remain long after the things and the people of this present world who think that they are so important. He was there when as yet his enemies had no being. He saw them afar off. And he will certainly be there after they are all gone. Their memory fading fast. No memory of them. The kingdoms and the rulers of this world who come and go, as they surely do, shall soon be forgotten. Shall soon be forgotten. Not only that, anything of this world that people put their trust in, that people think is so important, be it those who are famous, be it fortune, be it possessions, they all shall come and go. But the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, the Lord from heaven, rules over an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. Oh, if people could just get those words. They could just get those words for what they really mean, as they were revealed to Mary in Luke 1:33. This one who shall be conceived in your womb, conceived of the Holy Spirit, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Why is this so? Because it always has been, and always evermore shall be so. He is the one, to quote yet another favourite prophecy quoted at this time of the year by the prophet Micah. He is the one whose goings forth are of ancient time, even from everlasting. He's the one who said before Abraham was, "I am." Yet this rule of the Saviour had no beginning and certainly indeed shall not end. As Daniel was given his vision of the kingdoms of the earth that were to come to be and to pass, and those which took up their rule after them, how they rise and how they fall. Yet he was shown a kingdom that would never end. The kingdom of God's dear Son, who shall remain, abide forever, forever. You who be a child of God tonight are a citizen, a member of an everlasting kingdom. Correction. You're a member, a citizen of the everlasting kingdom. All others must fade away. Psalm 145:13 says of this great God and Saviour, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations." These kingdoms, these puny kingdoms, great in the world's eyes, great in your eyes and my eyes, they've come and gone. They've come and gone. And he's remained ruling supreme on his throne in glory. The sovereign ruler, the king. Don't think for one moment that when we read in Philippians 2 that this one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and came in the likeness of man and indeed took on the nature of a servant and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. And that we read that God has given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should confess, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This isn't giving him some new kingdom. He's always been the ruler of the kingdom. It's as he said in John 17 in his high priestly prayer, in the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Indeed, glorify thou me with the glory that I had before the world began." He's always been king. He's always been king. I don't know why it is so, but so many of these quotations are coming to mind now. How is it that indeed that those magi, those wise men came from the east and they said they sought someone who has been born? But they never sought someone who was born, who's yet to be crowned king one day. Where is he who is born king? That's what they said. King of the Jews, king of his people, king of his elect out of every nation. Secondly, the Lord our God remains the same. I'm so pleased at that. Because I change like the wind. Aren't you so pleased at that? You can rely upon that. He changes not. Thou changest not, thy compassions fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me. It is indeed impossible for him to change. He is eternally, unchangeably God, supreme. The Lord, the only true God, is immutable, ever the same, always the same, never changing. And God declares that he is so. In the prophet Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. I change not because I change not. Because I am the Lord. He remains the same in holiness, in righteousness, and his love unto those who are the elect ones, his chosen ones, his special ones, the objects of his love. This love is an unchanging love. It is an everlasting love. It had no beginning nor end. It ever was so. And having no beginning nor end, therefore, we cannot envisage a time when we ever were not loved of God. We look at those words again in Malachi 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because he changes not. Because he changes not. Well, what is it that changes not? That he says now, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Not consumed by my righteous indignation and wrath. That your sin deserves. Well, this speaks of those chosen unto salvation. The recipients of God's grace and mercy in his Son, the Lord Jesus. As Isaiah 43, 1 clearly shows us. O Jacob, I have chosen you. You are mine. I have redeemed you. Because God's grace and mercy ever was and ever shall be unto his people. That is why we were not consumed. That is why we did not fall under the condemnation that our sin deserved. Because his love, his grace and mercy, everlasting, was always upon us. As we can be assured that our great God shall endure, shall remain, shall abide forever, we have absolute confidence, total assurance that this grace, this mercy toward us shall also endure forever. As surely as he is God. If God changeth not, then therefore none of his attributes change either. You can't separate God from his attributes. The scriptures teach, thy mercy endures forever. Of course it does. Because the Lord endures forever. The psalmist says in Psalm 57, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. Strikes me here as an evangelistic verse. I will sing unto thee among the nations. We're among the nations, we're not of the nations anymore. We're called out from the nations. We are not of the world, we're in the world. But we've been placed in the world where God wants us. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. And so then, should we not declare the wonders of God's unchanging mercy, as we constantly find him to be unchangeably faithful to us? What a testimony we have to tell. As all those who were the recipients of the grace of Christ, as he came and he healed them and he caused them to walk again, he raised them to life again. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done for me. We read again in Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Yes, yes, you can trust your God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he doesn't change. He endures forever. His ways endure forever. His promises endure forever. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of lights, we read in James 1. He's the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He does not change. He does not change. He does not change. Every human father, no matter how they well-meaningly try to be as good as they can be, they will not be the same father that they were when their family were younger. Their strengths will fade. They will slow down. They will come to a point when they depend upon the kids. Not so with the Father in heaven. He changes not. He's the same as he was from eternity. He's the same Father that you came to through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same Father that you first knew yourself privileged to come and make your requests known to him, knowing yourself to be forgiven of all sin and welcomed, accepted in the beloved. He's the same Father. He's the same as he ever was. It's us who change. It's us who turn and need to turn back. Thirdly, as surely as God Almighty cannot change. He cannot change. As surely as he cannot change, Therefore, his word cannot change. What he has said, what he has commanded, what he has promised, what he has said and brought forth from his lips is irrevocable. Irrevocable. Don't you just love those words in Hebrews 6? When we read of Abraham, who received the promise from God. And there was no one higher for him to swear upon that this promise was true. And so he did swore on his own name. And we read, God, who it is impossible, with whom it is impossible to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Us, all the time. In our fleshly nature, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. We came forth from the womb speaking lies, crying out lies from our mother's womb. But God, with God, it is impossible for him to lie. I love those words. If you ever want any words to answer those who would seek to confront you about this word of God, how do you know this word is true? God says, it's impossible for me to lie. It's impossible for me to lie. And everyone who's taken God at his word has found it to be so. Everyone. Everyone. Only those who've never known the truth. Only those who God never called have found that word to be a disappointment because it's a closed book to them. But the Lord Jesus said quite clearly, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. When God opens your eyes, when God opens your ears, you will see and you will hear. And you will know that this word is faithful. And surely that is why we are here this evening. Because we have found him to be faithful at his word. Him who said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Anyone coming unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That word that was made irresistible to our souls, we found to be true. Yes, the words of God are all irreversible and cannot fail. He says in the prophet Isaiah, my word shall not return unto me void. And of course, at times we do forget the next part. For it shall fulfill in that thing for which I sent it forth. We don't always know the reason that which God has sent is forth his word for. But he will perform it. He will perform it, that for which he sent it forth. Even so, as the gospel goes forth, it will fulfill that purpose for which God sent it forth. Whether it is indeed to be the savior of life unto life to those who are being saved, or if it's the savior of death unto death to those who are perishing, it will fulfill its purpose. God does not lie. God is faithful. As God says in Isaiah 48:3, I have declared the former things. Everything that came to pass before. Everything that came to pass before we existed. Everything that came to pass before our generation. We look back. We're told about those things. We learn about those things. He declared them. He declared them long before. I have declared the former things from the beginning. Yeah, many people say they believe in a sovereign God. But just pursue the conversation a little bit further and see what they mean. With most people who talk about a sovereign God, they talk about one who has some kind of he has a perfect knowledge, seeing afar off all that's going to take place. That's not what God says. Yes, he speaks of his foreknowledge in 1 Peter 1, but that's not just mere knowledge of knowing something that's going to come to pass and not being able to affect change. He speaks of a foreknowledge which is talking of that he has purposed it all. He has purposed all things. As he says here, I have declared the former things from the beginning. I've declared them. They are so. I've purposed them. And they went forth out of my mouth. And when God spoke forth and revealed those things that should come to pass through his holy prophets, we are told that every single thing came to pass. And I showed them, and I did them suddenly. And they came to pass. Of course they did. Because he's God Almighty who endures forever. And his faithfulness endures forever. And his word endures forever. Yes, this world may strut. The people of this world may strut themselves in pomp. And show, seeking as they do, more and more. We were talking about this even last night with some relatives. Seeking to relegate the Almighty to the sidelines. What fools? What fools? Yet God and his words shall endure forever, confounding all his enemies. He shall bring to nothing those who are seeking to deny him and openly are in rebellion against him. Unless he be gracious, unless his grace is upon such ones and they are caused to repent, they should be brought to utter ruin. But all those who trust in the Saviour, all those who trust in the Saviour, Romans 10 tells us, They shall not be brought to shame. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall not be brought to shame. They shall be saved. All those who trust in this Saviour God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who endures forever, whose kingdom and reign shall never end. All such ones trusting him, in him, as we saw this morning, shall abide forever. Abiding in Jesus. I think we sung about that earlier on. Abiding in Jesus forever. The Bible teaching us clearly that the command went forth, life forevermore. The word of truth whereby the people of God are born of God, that word cannot fail. For it endures forever. It remains and abides forever when everything else around is like the grass, like the flower of the grass. It withers away. It perishes. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever lives, you see. We have a man in the heavens. That's why we can have confidence and hope. There is a man in the heavens. Jesus Christ, the God-man, who once entered his creation, took part with his creation. We say this, we've said this quite often recently, no other message can talk about a God that can enter his creation. No other God could, because they don't exist. But this God, who is almighty, could enter his creation, and he did. And he took part, and he took flesh and blood, and he was made manifest in the flesh. And as a man, he did bear, as the substitute saviour of his people, he did bear himself in his own body on the tree the sins of his people. And so he presents a sacrifice unto the Father, which is a sweet smelling savour unto God. It is a mystery, and yet it is a wondrous truth. There is a man in the heavens, our great high priest, who ever lives to make intercession. He ever lives to make intercession, pleading the merits of his own blood, the merits of his righteousness. He ever lives to make intercession for such as come to God by him, such as he brings to God. He is the Saviour, unchanging, enduring on. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lay hold on this confidence in your changing, unchanging God. In this changing world, in your changing life, have confidence in your unchanging God and Saviour. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.